Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you for joining me for Blog Talk Radio, where we are going through the process of their own favor life, where God has favored us with his presence, with his power, with his salvation, his life, and his truth. And he takes us through a process where he calls us to, and he calls us to a place we never could attain to us with ourselves, within our own selves. But he allows us to be stretched, to be tried, to be proven as the word that he's spoken manifests in our lives, that he changes us from line upon line and precept upon precept, faith to faith and glory to glory. But as we trust him and obey him and follow him in the grace of who he is and in the knowledge, learning in the knowledge of him, we see ourselves not only change, but we are a blessing to not only our family, but every generation and every nation if God allows us to come in contact with, and we show them and the love of God and demonstrate his power in our lives so that they could see something that they've never seen before. So it is a blessing to be with you as we go through this process of faith. It's a walk of faith. It's something that you cannot tell someone that you're going to do a scheduled set of things. All you know is God has called you to it, and by faith, he's going to walk you through it. So we thank God that we are all in this process of there, this process of faith, this walk of the call that he's ordained for our lives. And as we embrace it and as we walk in it, no matter what it is, your call may not be, he's not always the same with everybody. Everybody's call is different. But whatever he's called you to, do it with all of your heart. Do it by faith and doing it, serving God with everything in you, loving him with everything in you. We've been looking at the book of Exodus, and we said previous broadcast that the book of Exodus, the place of exiting, of course, it is the place where God hears you and he speaks to you. He hears your cry. It's the place where God answers you and he shows up in power and demonstrates his strength and proves his word in your life. It is a place of supernatural acts and supernatural provision. It is a place where chains are broken and freedom and liberty, restoration, salvation, and redemption take place. The place of covenant, the place of victory and crossing over, the place of exchange and release of wealth and prosperity, the place of corporate blessings and release, the place where you see a victory that you've never, ever imagine in your life, but it's also the place of battle. It is a place of new reality, new life, a new walk, a new provision, a new relationship, new mindsets, new overflow, new characters being formed in you. But it's also a place of letting go of the former, of the old, of the bondages and the baggage of the past, habits, thoughts, idols. It is a place where even people who will not shift with you, who try to hinder you, you have to let them go. It's a place of warning, a place where God defends you and openly before in presence of your enemy and defeats them. It is a place where God surrounds you and you see day and night the protection and the evidence that God is with you and that God is for you. It is a place of so much more, but those are the things the Lord has shared with me, and those are the things that I expect to see manifest as we exit as something that God is saying it's time to shift to something new. We've been looking at how God has chosen and called on purpose the life of Moses, and we understand that the kingdom in the spirit world of Egypt represents slavery, enslavement. It represents bondage. It represents something strong, stealing and taking the strength, taking the ability to break forth or to come out of. Pharaoh represents a place of death and destruction. He's the one who gave the order twice to have the Israelites killed. So Pharaoh represents a sentence of death, spoken death and destruction. And Egypt represents enslavement, bondage, a place where the enemy steals strength and ability to go forth or to break free. So we know that God has given us the power to destroy every yoke, every weapon of the enemy. but there are times when the enemy will try to enslave us with our past and our emotions and our heart, enslave us with even failures or shortcomings, bad decisions and mistakes. But whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in him, there is nothing that the enemy can keep you enslaved with, past, present, or future, because Jesus has broken the chains and the shackles of the enemy. He's broken the back of the adversary who's come to oppress, who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So it doesn't matter what Pharaoh has come after you to speak death and struck to kill or destroy the vision, the family, the finances, your physical body, or the business, because God himself says in the book of Exodus, I'm coming down myself to deliver. Look for the deliverance power of God to show up in your life. Look for God to come in and rescue and destroy the adversary that says, I will be a Pharaoh. There's no one greater than me. And that was Pharaoh's mindset. I'm a king. There's no God that is greater than me, because Pharaoh was rich. He was very powerful. Nations knew him for miles and miles and miles around. He had great wealth. He had a great kingdom. He had great provisions. There was nothing that he didn't ask for that wasn't done. People jumped and did whatever he wanted to. He had people that worked and moved in the occult and called and conjured up things. So he had, in the natural realm, a great kingdom. And in the spirit world, he had people that were conjuring up and calling up things. They worship and pray to idols and gods. So he felt like there was no God greater. No God had showed up to challenge him. No one ever had defeated him. So when Moses came, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, to tell him about the great I am, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Almighty God, he kept saying over, who is this God? And Moses was to tell him that I am, that I am. And so he did not understand the power of God until God began to plague. And God began to show up, and God began to perform. And that's what you have to understand. Whatever has come against you has made itself a great thing in its own mind, in its own imagination, in its own power. And so it feels as if your God cannot defeat it. And that is the characteristics of the enemy of Satan, because the enemy himself said, I will set up my kingdom. And he in himself thought he could defeat God. And he still believes that he's going to triumph and he's going to win, even though he must bow to the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. Even though the Word of God lets us know God will, in a little while, God will bruise, put Satan under our feet. So even in that, he still believes he's going to get the upper hand. But we know that he must bow and submit himself to the authority and to the voice of God and Jesus Christ. And when we speak and decree the name of Jesus, he must be rebuked, he must be bound, he must flee. So we understand that even though this thing appears big, even though this thing appears as if it's going to win, it does not have power over the God who's called you, who ordained your life, who's given you purpose, who's empowered you, who spoke a word over you, who's commanded his goodwill, his blessings to be upon your life. The word of God will not fail, for the word is Jesus. He was in the beginning, and he is the word. And since we speak him out of our mouths, we decree and declare only his will is going to be done, and his kingdom shall come. It will be established not only in us, but in the earth as we obey. We will show and demonstrate the kingdom of our God. So the enemy cannot defeat our king, our kingdom, our God, our Savior, and our Redeemer. So it doesn't matter what he's trying and attempting to do. It's going to fail. It's going to fall. It will return back unto him bankrupt. And that's what you have to understand. The weapon that is formed, the weapon that is strategized by the enemy, the weapon that he plots and he plans with, it's going to return back to him bankrupt. It's going to return back to him empty. It will return back to him void. It will go back to his kingdom, but it will not prosper in your life, because God has already spoken a word concerning you, and the word that God has spoken cannot return back void. He said in his word that he wished above all that you prosper and be in good health. He said in his word that the word that he's spoken unto you concerning you will prosper in the thing that he sent it. That means what God has spoken must prosper, must perform, must act, must produce what he says. And the word of the enemy, the weapon of the enemy, cannot go against God's word, because it, even if it's trying it, it's not going to win, because the word of God stands forever. So the weapon of the enemy that comes to try you, it shall not prosper, because God has spoken a word that must prosper in your favor. God has spoken a word that must perform in your favor. It must complete the assignment that God has assigned to it. So look for that demonstration. We see here that Moses was, as we broke off yesterday, he was being taught. And I said to you before that the Lord will put you in a place to learn your enemy, to know the strategies of your enemy, because it lets us know that Moses was well taught. He knew all the laws, and he knew all the history, and he knew all the articles of what they believed and what they thought and how they lived and the way that they performed. He knew everything about them. He was well taught, well spoken, very elegant, knew the history, knew everything that he needed to know concerning the Egyptians. So God will allow you to learn your adversary, so that when you go in, you can defeat your adversary in the name of Jesus Christ, using the weapons that are not carnal, but a mighty through God, are pulling down every stronghold, which is the word of God. So he allowed him to be taught of him. And Moses knew that he had an assignment by God, but you have to be very careful not to run ahead of God, not to get ahead of him. Even in him getting ahead, God still had a plan. He still had a purpose. He knew that Moses was going to act out of his own flesh. The deliverance was not going to come through the flesh. It was going to come through the Spirit. And that's what you have to understand. Your deliverance is not coming through flesh. Your deliverance is coming in the spirit realm. And you have to understand that, because what we're fighting, even though we see people and we see them react and we see things happen, it is a spiritual attack. It is a spiritual, supernatural battle. So we cannot fight in the natural. We have to fight in the spirit. We have to take the word of God, and we have to use the word as a weapon against the enemy. We have to decree the will of God in the earth, tearing down strongholds, tearing down everything which try to exalt itself above and against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We tear it down by using the word of God by faith. As we speak it and decree it, pray it by faith, we believe that we have what we ask for, the petition of our heart. And if we believe it, it is already ours. It is already done. And we will watch God change every situation in our favor for his glory, allowing his kingdom to come down and be the evidence in the earth for someone else to see. When they see the blessings of God, the hand of God, the deliverance of God on our life, because they're watching us, they're seeing us in different situations, and they hear us say that we are Christians, so they want to see how are we going to get out of it. They've already judged us according to the carnal. They have judged us according to what they think we make and what we have in our house and where we're going and what they see about us and the natural room, but they don't know who we are. Even as it was with Job, the enemy did not know who Job was. Job was not just a wealthy man. He was a worshiper. He was a lover of righteousness. He loved God and served him with all of his heart. So the enemy is trying to measure you according to the natural, because he can't see you in the spirit. He doesn't know who you are in the spirit. He doesn't see the giant of who you are. So you can't use carnal weapons in a spiritual battle. You must use your spiritual weapons to defeat the enemy, because God is coming down to do a great thing on your behalf, on my behalf. He's going to turn it in our favor. He's going to work it for our good. He's going to make sure the enemy knows that what he's done, he didn't just do it to us. He did it to the least one, which is God, which God's hands on. So God is going to defend us. He's going to move for us. He's going to fight for us. He's going to make sure that the enemy and the world knows that our king reigns and he rules in our lives, that our lives are not just like everybody else, but we have a purpose, and a purpose greater than where we are now. It's greater than our call. It's greater than what we think. It is greater than anyone's word over us. The purpose of God outweighs everything else, and it's his will being done in our lives on a greater level and a greater expansion. I pray that you receive this 15 minutes of empowerment, and that you hear the word, receive it, digest it, and live by it, and that it encourages you. I pray your weekend is blessed and your worship experience is even greater. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you back on Monday for another episode of Favor Life, Process of There. God bless you.